Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Praise the Lord, everybody. The songwriter says that Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Do you already know what it is that you want? If you do, you have the opportunity. There is no time span, no ending time for you to talk to our Father and let him know what you want, knowing that you are in a position to receive it. We say good morning to all our international partners, all of our new partners. We're just elated that you continuously come on the line with us as we break the bread of life and receive our daily manna and drink our living water at our executive meeting where we put God first, where he is the number one priority of our life. And we're just thanking you for doing the same exact thing. One thing about ADM, I can sit and say that what I have learned, if I don't know anything else, is that we do love the Lord. And we're just grateful and thankful that you have arrived to that place too. So we say good morning to you. We pray that you have an awesome day and that you just have a magnificent day, knowing that you have the ability, no matter where you're at, to command your atmosphere, to command how your day is going to be. All you need to do is open your mouth, speak it and believe it. And then all the hurdles, the obstacles, or whatnot, just walk right past through them. Have a good, keep a song in your heart. Keep a song in your heart. So if things are not going the way that you want them to go, you can pull that song back up. Yo, you can get your peace back. You can get your joy back. You are in control of whatever takes place, and don't you forget that. So I say again, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and we thank you. We thank you for joining us on this morning. Good morning, Mother Walker, Ms. Mother Jackson. Will you please bring us in?
Yes. Good morning to each and every one. This is the first I give honor to Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life. I give honor to Apostle Spencer and First Lady Spencer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Heavenly Father, this morning, God, we come to you. I'm going to know how, God, is thanking you for just another day, God. Just this breath, say, God, to your life. We thank you, Lord, for life happening. We come to you just asking you to renew the right spirit within us, God. Continue to lead us and to guide us, God. All of our footsteps in the name of Jesus, God, we just thank you. We thank you for the beauty that you have brought. And when we look around and see your beauty, it's just a blessing. It's just amazing. But we thank you, God. God, we thank you for our family, God. We pray a mighty way, God. Continue to lead and guide them, God. We thank you for salvation, God. We just thank you for all that you have done for us, God. We realize, God, we thank you for just being you, for the love that you have shown us, God, like never before. Error in our lives, God. You still love us, God. So we say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the shelter over our heads, God. We just thank you. We don't come complaining, God, but just thank you, God. If it had not been for you, it wouldn't have been possible. So we say thank you this morning, God. Lord, I lift up the elder this morning. As always, God, continue to strengthen them, God. Continue to lead and heal and protect them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you this morning, God. Creating us a clean heart, God. And renew that right spirit within us, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we thank you for all things, Father. We thank you for every living thing, Lord Jesus. And Father, I just want to sit and say to you, Lord, you are a merciful God, Father God. And we are just so grateful, Lord Jesus, for your new mercies on this morning, Lord Jesus. We are just so thankful, Father God, that you chose us, Lord Jesus, to wake up this morning, Father God. You chose us, Father God, to sit and say, Lord, I may have not gotten it right yesterday, Lord, but you granted me a new mercy to get it right today, Lord. I may have fell short, Lord, of your glory yesterday, Lord, but today, Father God, you gave me a new opportunity, Father God. I may, Father God, may have done things that I shouldn't have done, Father, but you gave me an opportunity to confess, repent, and get it back right with you this morning, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for continuously, Father, keeping me in your refuge, in your loving arms, in your safe place, Father God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for the platform that we have this morning, Lord Jesus, because you said that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, Lord Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus, where we're at right now, Father, spreading the good news, Father God, spreading your word, Father God, not our word, Father God, your word, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for our new partners, Lord, for having a hunger, a thirst, Lord Jesus, for your manna, for your water, your living water, Father God. And so as Mother Jackson say, we thank you for salvation, Lord. Yes, Lord, we thank you for salvation. Because, Lord, we know, Father, that you want all things good for us, Lord. We know, Lord, that you want us to be successful. You want us to be prosperous. But most of all, Father, you want us to have eternal life with you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for who you are, Father, and we identifying who we are to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank you on this morning, Lord. We thank you for raising us, Father God, from where we used to be, Father, and placing us on new grounds, Father. New grounds, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for every time that you had to resurrect us, Father God, when we was in our dead state, Lord Jesus. We thank you on this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we love you, Lord. We love you, Father, and as we enter in today's word, Father God, we just ask you to allow us to decrease, Father, and for you to increase, Lord, because you know what your people need, Father God. You know where everybody is at, Father God. You know where we need to meet them, Lord Jesus. So we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, as we magnify you, Father, as we exalt thee, Father God. There's none other than you, no name above your name, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you in Jesus' name. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to your name. Yes, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. Last night, I don't know if you all were on, but we started a powerful segment on last night, and guess what? I can't touch it. I'm not trying to touch it. I'm not going there. I just wanted to remind people that it is so important to, I keep telling you, and I'm going to tell you, to take notes. It's written, because last night as I went and I looked over my old notes, I'm telling you, where you were at maybe a year or 2 years ago, God will sit and bring you to you can sit and see how he walks you through things day by day. Last night I had a conversation with First Lady, and she reminded me every day God is taking us from one step to the next if that's where you need to, if that's where you are willing to allow him to take you. But as I looked over my notes last night, I looked over my notes and I was like, okay, well, some of these things, and I'm saying the word some, but as God meets you where you're at, you can see where he does the increase. We might have, ADM, you might have learned or may have had some notes from last year or 2 years ago when we went over this, but if you paid attention, there was an increase into the word. There was a new depthness into the word, and I just wanted to bring that up. So I want to tell all our new listeners and our partners, or even those that may have came to join ADM after the fact, to start writing things down, because it's so important. The teachings that are coming forth, they are, like I said, God knows just where to meet us. He knows just where to meet us. He knows just what we need to hear. And you cannot grasp it. You won't grasp it or won't even receive it to apply it in your life if it's not something that you feel worthy to write down. Every word that a person that I trust that is bringing the word of God, I'm writing it down, because you know what I feel the Spirit is telling me? The Spirit is telling me this is something that you need to know. This is something that you need to apply in your life. It is something somewhere down the line, because everything in the Bible is a book of instruction. Everything that you are taught, one day, someday, you're going to have to apply it into your life. And this is how much God loves us. This is how much God loves us. God pours into different men and women of God. He pours into them, those that have opened themselves up for us to be a willing vessel. He pours into them. He downpours what he wants to be taught, what he wants to be said, because he loves us just as we are. And in his loving us just as we are, he begins to teach you. He begins to bring you from a place where he feels that you didn't sat there too long. He feels like you just sitting there and not trying to do anything. So every now and again, he will sit and send somebody to, one, rejuvenate you. Two, let them know that he's trying to restore you. Three, that he wants you to live the life that he predestined us to do, to live in. We, you and I, have to be in a place of receiving it. And we already know in that receiving, there's going to be some chastisements. There are going to be some good times. There's going to be some bad times. But you have to be yourself, be in a place to receive what it is. So I just felt the need. I was compelled to say that because it really saddens me if I can have a conversation with somebody, or I like to have a conversation with somebody talking about the Lord. I really do. And the teachings that I receive, those people, my sister Monica, who used to be on here with me, she drives a truck. So she is very overwhelmed. But you know what? I'm able to sit while she's driving that truck sometimes and tell her this is what we learned today. This is what, and you know what she say? Sister, screenshot it to me. I can't help the next person if I don't put myself in a situation to write it down. See, you got some people eager to be in the will of God because they so tired of being outside of the will of God. You will hear people sit and say, I don't know why, God, I'm still here, because this is not where my scripture, where my thoughts was this morning. But you'll hear some people say, I'm so sick and tired of sick and tired. But what you doing about it? Right now you have an audience. Kenya, Nigeria, Canada, everybody that's under the sound of my voice, you got a platform. You are the audience where God is sitting and he's teaching. I'm not talking about that A plus B equals C. He's teaching you from the place of how to have an intimate relationship with him, which we already know. In order for you to be prosperous and successful in anything, you have to have an intimate relationship with God. He's teaching you how obedience is better than sacrifice. ABM, he's showing you. You have living examples. He's teaching you how to stay in the will of him. He's teaching you how to be delivered from different things. Now we to the point, he's taught you how that you need to court him first. And he, as you learn to trust him, he's learning to trust you. And these are things that we need to be teaching people. These are things, this is spreading the good news of God. This is when you get into a place, see, anybody can walk up to somebody and say, Jesus saves. Anybody. And see, some people feel like that's the good news of God. But see, when you're talking about the good news of God, that means you getting down to the nitty-gritty. You getting down to where you are naked, and then you building things back up. Your testimony is so powerful that it will have people sitting on the edge of their seat. Your testimony or the fact of your actions and how you do things, and people could just sit and see God. See, that to me, that's spreading. I'm saying to me, that's spreading the good news of God when I can sit and see God in people. And I can sit when they don't have to come and sit and say, oh, I'm evangelist, I'm Nita, and this, and that. When my actions, my walk, my talk shows differently. Or I don't have to sit and say, oh, I'm a girl that I was raised in poverty, but this is where I'm here now. Because see, one thing about it, everything we go through, it's a test, and you have to be in a position if you're going to pass the test or you're going to fail it. So I'm getting back to the materials that God has been giving us. He loves us so much. Check this out. He gives it to you 5 days a week, sometimes twice a week, sometimes two times in a day. Last night it was in the morning, 7 a.m., 8 p.m., tonight, 7 a.m., 8 p.m. It's not man. See, we get caught up and feel like it's something that man. But see, y'all don't understand the urgency of what God is doing at this point in time. You don't see that God is trying to help you, push you, and move you on because you sitting there on your mat and too scared to pick it up. You sitting in a place of comfortability and too scared to change because you don't know what's for you. Guess what? None of us know what's before us. That's why our faith has to be in God. That's why we have to understand that everything is in his timing. We sit and we ask God, when God, oh, God, don't hear me. You may be in his will. You may be doing everything he's telling you to do, being obedient, trusting him, believing him, but you may not be ready to receive what he has for you. Sometimes God sit and linger because you need to be in a place where you can receive his promises. Some of us are not worthy at this point in time to receive the promises that God has for us because we can't even acknowledge him. We can't even pick up the Bible and read the Bible and study the Bible. We can't even get into a place of praise and worship because we're so worried about this. Who's watching us? What they gonna say? We can't even get just sit and say, Father, I thank you, just walking down the street and not worrying about what this person, because we too busy doing something else. Oh, well, did you write the notes down or did you read this? Nah, child, I was tired. I fell asleep. You tired of what? You wasn't too tired to be on Facebook. You wasn't too tired to be on the phone. You wasn't too tired to do all of the natural things, but you're too tired for our God. I'm telling you all, the teaching where God has you right now, if you're not listening to what I'm saying, pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to different things that's going on. Pay attention. We sit and we all have so much to talk about COVID, but COVID-19 blessed us. Huh? It blessed us. It held back time for some people. People getting money that they don't even deserve, and they're spending it, and they don't even want to go back into the workforce. It spoils us. It blessed some, and it spoiled the rest, because you are in a place where you have taken advantage of what, at this point in time, the season that you're in, you took advantage of it. And now you're in a place where you don't want to do what God is telling you to do to get you to the next level. You don't want to be in a place of success because you want to sit there on your couch and watch Jerry Springer or whatever different thing all day instead of getting out to work. Because what's going on right now, the benefits that's in place, they're getting ready to shut it down. They're going to shut it down. In the name of Jesus, they're going to shut it down because people are not appreciative of the things that God put before them. People can't sit and get up and hear what God has to say. Listen, you may not like the sound of my voice. You may not like the sound of the next person's voice, but it ain't about me. It's what God is saying to you. You may sit and feel like, oh, this is too much or that is too much. Well, you need to talk to God about it. You need to let God know this is too much for me. I don't want to hear it. And guess what? I'm more than sure to be fine. Stay just where you at. Stay where you at. It doesn't matter. Stay where you're at because I have put you in a place where I can help you. I put you in a place where I can help you. It is not coincidental that you are on this platform. It is not coincidental that I'm sending texts. I got people sending texts out to you telling you to come on board. It's not coincidental that we have an international line where you can join in to hear and receive what God has for you. I've said it all, what I can say. All I can sit and tell you is, understand, quiet your surroundings, pay attention to the movement of God, get your notepads out, keep a pen next to you, and start writing. God is speaking. It is not man, it is God speaking. God is trying to teach you. God is trying to tell you something for your good so you can stop being right there sitting and not getting into a place where you can receive what is true and what is going to help you. Good morning, Apostle Temple. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Amen. God bless you all, saints and friends, and God bless your partner. Oh, it's always a blessing to come on and just be a blessing to you and just be more, just give you more. Amen. It's a blessing. Listen, just as Evangelist was saying, amen, for the Spirit of the Lord begin to teach you. Tonight, I'm going to be back on tonight, but we're going to deal with things that is a little bit more personal. And it's going to be a little bit more personal pertaining to the Word of God, pertaining to your life individually. Amen. That's very important for you to understand what the Bible says about your life. It says what it says about what you're going through. It says what the Bible talks about your ways. Then you'll begin to see and understand how you is the problem of your blessings, or you is the problem of your healing or different things. And we got to understand how God began to work in our lives. Amen. And that's something that we have to understand. You know, I've been rebuking this spirit of alt, the spirit of alt. The spirit of alt is pretty much like a spirit of a victim. It's a spirit of a victim, and it preventing people, first of all, to take accountability of their own self and take accountability of their own works. Because that spirit does not want you to take accountability, as always wants you to feel as though you are a victim. You have to understand that the Bible is made up of different stories, and there's different stories pertaining to individuals' lives that is told, amen, that is told. It's different stories that is working on individuals' lives that is told pertaining to their walk and their history, their life, amen. So, other words, amen, and God began to teach from people's lives, people walk, people on the things that they done and the things that they, how they worship, even talks about the good and the bad, the judgments and different things that cause him to get upset with them and cause them to prevent them from being blessed and cause them for doing different things. So the Bible is full of characters and names of individuals. Amen. See, what happened to people, they stay away from them being exposed of their own issues because of the spirit of alt, because now they begin to feel as a victim. Well, the Bible is always talks about characters, and it talks about individuals' lives, and it just run down, up and down in the good and the hard times and the different things and stuff like that. So the Bible is pretty much sermons of about people, what, lives. But when God begin to use reality and begin to point out things in your life, that's when it begins to come serious for people. But we got to move away that. If you're going to begin to grow into the things of God, if you're going to begin to grow in God, you got to move away of that and let God deal with you in your life. Let God deal with you in your era, regardless of whatever it is. Amen. Then you'll begin to find out and discover what's preventing you from receiving the blessings of receiving the different things that God has for you. We have to understand that we are our worst enemy. That's the enemy of ourself. The enemy of self. That is the worst enemy pertaining to people. You know, our enemy, how we think, amen, and to think about how we think about situations, how we think, how we process, how we begin to interpret it, different things, we'll begin to go down the wrong path pertaining to situation, and it's all is stimulated from ourselves, how we perceive, amen, how we go at different things. That's why I never begin to respond or begin to reach out to folks, begin to over and begin to say different things, because when you begin to pull back the layers of individual's life and pull back the layers of life, amen, you begin to see a lot of errors, a lot of different things that the enemy is walking in the spirit of all. Amen. It began to become a victim. Amen. So we have to understand that. And when we begin to understand what the Word of God and put it in its proper place, and we'll begin to see how effective the Word of God is. And many people don't see how effective the Word of God is because, number one, you might have the correct Word of God, but your placement, how it's placed, it's placed in all different ways, and you've been trying to use it here and there and there. It's just like someone has a gun, and they don't understand how to hit the target, and they just shooting the gun all over the place. So instead of the gun being effective, amen, for that individual, that gun is doing more harm to everybody that is around that individual than it's going to do good. Why? It began to shoot, began to wound, it began to hurt, it began to come against, it began to do all these things to where this victim or this person that has victim begin to shoot the gun off and not understanding what the gospel is trying to do or recalibrate in their own life. Amen. When we talk about the story of Moses, we're talking about the life of Moses. When we talk about the journey of Moses, we're talking about his involvement. We're talking about even his crime that he committed, regardless if somebody want to look at it, it was justified, but it was still murder. Amen. That what Moses done, regardless for whatever reason. So when we talk about that, we talked about the good, then we talked about how he had to run away. He basically was a fugitive, amen, because they was looking for him to charge him for that murder. and he knew it, so he went on a run. So Moses was a what? A fugitive, amen? Then God, then he had a godly moment, a godly encounter. This is why I tell people, amen, until they have that godly encounter, amen, you better not touch them for where they at, because if they begin to burn you or something begin to happen, well, that's you did not wait on them to have a godly encounter. How long it took Moses just to have that godly encounter, amen, with God, dealing with the burning bush, amen, where God began to give him his assignment and begin to reorder and begin to reconfigure his life, amen. And when he came from that place of that godly encounter, he came back as a different man. He came back as somebody that is totally different. Amen. I just pray that the saints of God, you really truly have a godly encounter. Amen. And you begin to have a godly encounter pertaining to, amen, yourself. Amen. And pertaining to the different things that you are dealing with. Because that is the area to where you begin to mature. That is the area where you begin to grow into the things of God. I pray that leaders have the same thing. And we really get into the context of the Bible and the context what the Bible is saying from Genesis through Revelation, other than the context of scriptures that we drive so hard and drive so deep and begin to convince people of the interpretation of the meaning because everybody else is saying it and it sounds good and it's beneficiary to you, but it's not to the peoples of God, it's to the kingdom. The kingdom of God is made up for the people, amen? And my God, and it's our job to lead and our job to develop and to teach the people. We went into a good bit of stories and scriptures on last night pertaining to orders, my God, of giving and the orders of your life, amen. And what the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy 5:8, amen, to where the first order needs to be, my God, in your home. Read it for yourself, amen. And you need to understand that. Why? The Bible even says that if you don't take care of your home or take care of that, especially that first priority, amen, it tells you, amen, that you pretty much deny the faith. And it pretty much tells you that you are worse than an infidel. It says you are worse than an unbeliever. So basically, it's not even putting you in a category. If you're a believer or unbeliever, it says you're worse than an unbeliever. Amen? So we have to understand that for we could grow into God and for the blessings of God to begin to come on our life, we really need to dig deep, amen, into these areas that we don't even know or we ain't even thinking about, amen, for we can begin to see and identify, amen, what is causing blockage that is in our life. Let me tell you something. If it's a blockage that is in your life for you to receive the blessings that you know you should have received and you know you should have, amen, you have to understand that blockage is pertaining to somewhere in you. It's somewhere in your area because the Bible declares, whom I bless, no man can curse. So, in other words, no one cannot stop your blessing. The hard times that you're going through, I bet you, my God, any kind of, you know, I tell you this, the hard times that you're dealing with is because of some decisions or it's because God need to, I'm putting you in the wilderness because he need to mature you or it's because this is what you decide that you want to go through, amen? Because at the end of the day, the walk of God is not a hard shift. It's not a hard walk. It's a walk to where you have to stand and keep the faith. It's a walk that where you have to stand up for what you believe in, amen. It's a walk that you cannot get weary-minded, but at the end of the day, God is a keeper. Ain't no one can take that away from me, my God, and say God is not a keeper, amen. No one can take that away from me, my God, that people believe that the enemy come in and take stuff and deal with stuff. Well, that contradicts scripture because scripture says, whom I bless, no man, nothing cannot curse. Where did you find in the Bible that this, the enemy was able to strip somebody of the blessings that God done put over their life? Amen? See, these are the things that it begin to contradict the word of God to where it sounds good to your ears, but it's not scripture correct, amen? And it's not biblical or kingdom correct. And we begin to implement these phrases, and we begin to walk with these different things, and instead of we seeing a relief in our life, it seems like it's still a tighter grip that is beginning to happen where we cannot get a break. Well, scripture in Psalms 23 says, he will make me lie down in a green pastures. Amen. The Bible tells me, look towards the hill for which cometh my help. And my help comes from where? It comes from the Lord. But it's scripture after scripture where God telling you, I will give you peace. I will give you rest. I will make things comfortable for you in spite of the storms that you are going through. See, when you begin to experience the opposite of that, amen, regardless if you are in the wilderness, regardless if you are in different things, amen, that means it's a blockage happening in where your life that you have not come to the grip to assess about who? About you, for you can begin to deal with about you. When we begin to look at the story about Adam, who are we talking about? Adam. When we begin to look at the story about Abraham, who are we talking about? Abraham. When we begin to look at the story, my God, about Joseph, who we talking about? Joseph. When we look at the story about Jacob, who we talking about? Jacob. When we begin to look at the story about Isaac, who we talking about? Isaac. When we look at the story about Elijah and Elijah, who we talking about? Elijah and who else? Elijah. Come on now. When we begin to look at these things and begin to talk about these stories, see, this is what troubles the people. This is what causing the peoples of God get in trouble. Because watch this. We able to relate story, but we cannot relate to our story. I don't mean to get too deep this morning. My God, but that was an ouch moment right there. We easy for us to relate to somebody else's story, but when we become the story, my God, if it ain't dealing with the blessings, if it ain't dealing with God finna turn it around for you, if it ain't dealing with God finna get ready to do this for you, amen, if it ain't dealing with that, we don't want to deal with anything else, amen, even though we talk about different downfalls and different upcomings and different goods and different bads and different things that happen biblically, but long as it don't hit my door, can I talk to somebody this morning? This is what's stopping the growth, and that the enemy don't plant the spirit of awe and causing people to become victim-minded, because what that does is stop you from being mature. It stop you from coming into the growth and coming to the success or the increased things that God has for you, because we too busy playing a victim when it comes to the things that it needs to be dealt with, other than, my God, when somebody is talking about blessing, when somebody talk about, oh, you just been through a test. You ain't going through no test. You went through that mess by yourself, amen? You made the decision to go down through that hard road and stop trying to use every trial and everything that you go through or self-inflicted judgments that you caused on yourself. Now here it is as a test. Now here it is. Oh, my God. I must got a blessing to come in my way. I'm going through something radical. Baby, I don't need no, my God. I don't have to go through something radical just to realize that it's a blessing coming in my life. Amen? I understand that I'm already blessed. I understand that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord is going to lift up a standard. I understand, my God, we wrestle not against princes of palace and against rulers of darkness, but the Bible tells me, therefore, son, you stand. I understand when the Bible tells me, when you resist the enemy and he shall flee. I understand when the Bible says, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you don't have room enough to receive. I understand that the blessings of the Lord will chase you down, my God, and run you over. Amen. I understand, my God, when we say that. So how in the world that I'm finna get ready to contradict my blessed place just to go ahead and put an interpretation
interpretation that I got to go through some hell just to be blessed. No, that's what, since you don't receive that, and since you don't took that in, that's why many of you is going through a lot of hell, because you don't receive that over your life, and now you don't believe unless you go through some hell and high water that your life needs to be blessed. The devil is a liar from the God that I serve. Baby, I can be blessed on the hummus. I can be blessed on a beef. I can be blessed in a 5-star, in a 4-star, diamond, whatever. I can be blessed just having and living a blessed life, because the deep call it the deep. And at the end of the day, if God going to keep blessing and eating, and the Bible says he's a God of increase, that means he's going to increase me in my blessed place. Is anybody there? Hope I ain't getting too heavy for y'all, because I really preached last night. Amen. See, we got to understand these things. Oh, I'm just going through a test. No, you ain't going through a test. God's trying to develop character with you, because your character is all out of whack. So he got to keep you in a fiery furnace. He got to keep you in the fire. Y'all hear me? Because he's trying to develop that character. He's trying to get you out of everybody else's business and you deal with your own business. Amen. He's allowing you to stay in that trial, because if you don't stay in that trial, if you don't stay in the wilderness, you be in everybody else's business. You be in everybody else's nonsense. So God got to keep tension where you can keep the tension on yourself. Amen. See, some things God is trying to develop, a lot, pretty much majority of the things God is trying to develop you and try to deal with you. It ain't all about the devil. Many people don't took this one story, how the devil don't dealt with Job, and everybody in the world don't, but just about all the saints that at some point in their life don't took it for their own life. And that was just one story out of many books in the Bible, and we just don't took that one time period, we don't took that one scene, and we don't put it all in our life like I'm having a Job morning, and up in it, and all somebody got to do, the preacher got to say, or your prayer partner needs to say, or you finna get blessed double for your trouble. Now they hollering and running. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm finna get blessed double for my trouble. Well, baby, what about if your troubles, my God Almighty, that you finna get blessed with is double, because my God is judgment on your life, that you getting blessed double for your trouble. Because what? Because of what you receive. Some of these things that we're going through, pretty much majority of these things that we're going through, is not ordained by God. It's self-inflicted of the decisions about us. And because we have not dealt with the truth pertaining to us, but yet we want to deal with what everybody else got going on, that's the, y'all got to understand, that's the whole depthness of the Bible. The whole depthness of the Bible for you to deal with you. Let me pause right there for a minute. It's for you to deal with you. The story about Moses, Genesis and Deuteronomy, these different journeys, there's a story about who? Moses. It's led. Pertaining to the story about Moses, you begin to see how his journey was with the children of Israel. Then you begin to see a story within a story. A story about Moses, his leading the children of Israel. Then you begin to see the children of Israel story about them. And a lot of things that about the children of Israel, it wasn't good. Well, generations after generation had to stay out of the promised land because of their own nonsense. And they was walking with God, that God was showing them miracles and doing different things and being a keeper. See, this is where folks, my God, this is where I don't even get all thrilled about them, because you could say God is a keeper. Oh, yeah, God is a keeper. God got me going on. Baby, until you look at your own self, you could say all that what you want to say. Because at the end of the day, he kept the children of Israel. He was a pillar by day, and he was a fiery cloud by night. Y'all hear me? He gave them manna, rained down manna from heaven, and they still had issues, my God Almighty. And it was the issue pertaining to within their self, and it was bedded into who? Their self. See, at the end of the day, we read about all these stories, but can these stories become personal to our own life? And this is where the spirit of ought begin to have folks to be a victim, and they don't look at their self. They begin to look at everybody else from a different perception lens. Because why? When we read about these stories, instead of us applying these stories, what we need into our own personal life, we begin to look at these stories as individual. Well, the Bible begins to show you these different people's lives, they ups and downs and their blessings and curses and judgment and their rewards and all this, for you can understand the blueprint, how the gospel work in your own personal life. Y'all hear me? Y'all hear me? I remember what it was about a month ago, 2 months ago, maybe three. I was communing with the Holy Ghost. I said, Holy Ghost. I said, Spirit. I said, no, you know, I don't talk to it like that. We just go to talking. And I say, I'm so tired of these folks. Every time, you know, God begin to move on something, people always feel as though that we're talking about them. And the Holy Ghost, before I even get them out of my mouth, the Holy Ghost stopped me. He said, son, these are people that has the spirit of ought. They are victimized people. Because you got to understand what you said. Let me help some pastor this morning. Amen. The Holy Ghost said, you have to understand something. Let me help you to take a step back so you can look at the gospel. The gospel is made of different stories about people's lives. The gospel is made up the story that even the Father done shared with other authors for they could begin to write different things that is inspired in its inspiration by me or the Holy Ghost, amen, that it begin to lay it about these individual lives. The things that you don't learn about different individuals is pertaining to their life walk. It pertaining to their life story. It's pertaining to that the things that is happening into who life, their life. And if they never allowed God, or if they never came into reality about them, they would never came into the blessings of the different things that it was done. Even though Moses had a purpose and had a reason what he did, and he was very upset, but also Moses had to come into the reality that even though I did it, it was still wrong. Even David, amen, that he had to come into the reality. He didn't fuss against Aaron when Aaron brought the message, my God, that told him what the Lord said to him because of his wrongdoing, then judgment hit David's life. And the Bible declares that how Aaron told David, say, David, your firstborn, amen, is going to be gone. It's not going to have it. The Bible didn't say, it didn't say that he fought with the man and told him all and said all this. He said that, my God, the Bible says what? He fell on his face and he began to repent. He began to go into prayer. He began to call out God. Why? Because he recognized the things that he did, and the things that he did, it caused judgment on himself. Amen. And until the people recognize these are the things that God is doing, God is not going to bring a 2000 BC's, amen, into 2021 in our time. He said, you got to understand something, son. Let me talk to y'all preachers. You got to understand something. You are not walking all over the world like they did in a Bible days. You are, my God, some people still living in the old time period where they're using things that pertaining to cattle and different things. You got farm equipment now. Amen. You got farm equipment now. You ain't walking up down the highway sitting on a donkey or riding a horse. Amen. Y'all got cars, and your cars got names. Some of your cars named Cadillac. Some of your cars named Escalade. Some of your cars named Pontiac. Some of your cars named Explorer. Some of your cars named Expedition. Some of your cars named, and it don't have a natural heartbeat like an animal. It has a what? It has an in it. It has an engine. Amen. That works mechanically. So we got to understand that the way God deals with things, he deals with things pertaining to when. Now, is there anybody there? Oh my God, is there anybody there? So we have to understand that. And we have to understand that the biggest blessings, that it could be increase or decrease, is pertaining to our own life. And when people cannot deal with them or cannot be chastised about them, these are the people that is really going to stay in the gutter. And the enemy began to fool individuals' mind that as if you coming out of this, you just going through something hard. And they begin to misinterpret the scriptures of God pertaining to their own life. And this is the cleverness of the enemy. He begins to allow individuals to misinterpret. And what the misinterpret does, it causes a stronghold to be on the individual. Because now what they are misinterpreting, they believe what they misinterpreted, and what they misinterpreted is not accurate, and they still trying to figure out why they still in this place. Well, while you're still in this place, it got a lot to do with you. And the enemy just being very clever, and he's taking how your personality is and taking the way you think, and he's just feeding that even more. Amen. He's feeling that even more because he know I can keep you into this stronghold or place of isolation, because when even the truth come in, hit you at your door, you're going to begin to rebuke it because of your own interpretation that you believe that is correct. But at the end of the day, you don't see result. And this is why I had to share with an individual the other day. I said, you could say all these stuff, but what is the result? Because the God that I serve is the God of results. You can tell me all this stuff, because at the end of the day, I want to see the result. Don't go and talk this good game and try to talk this, my God, this thing out, and you don't have no result that you are producing in your life. I don't want to hear what you believe in your head. I want to see what you can apply and you can get results with. I don't got time for all that. If I want all that, let me read a book. But at the end of the day, when it's pertaining to the life and my life, well, I want to see some results. I need somebody to just go ahead and text results, results. Go ahead and email results, results, results. That's what I'm telling you. I pray that you're going to be shipped into some results. Y'all hear me? When folks come and tell you all this stuff, I hear all that what you're saying, but I need to see results. If that's the results that you are getting and what you are talking about, well, baby, I need to get away from you, because I'm not trying to get the results. It's something that you ain't doing right if you getting these types of results when it's walking with God. Somebody is lying here. It's either the Spirit of God is lying, or it's either you is lying. And the Bible tells me that he's a man that he shall not lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. Don't tell me this stuff and you don't got results. Y'all hear me? So it causing individuals to not to be in a good place, and they don't have results that is coming in their life. So now we're not seeing the results or the manifestation to me. One minute we see it, next minute it goes away. God is not a temporary fix. I was sharing with them last night pertaining to the blessings. One was a hustle. One was a agreement or a contract or a covenant agreement, and that's pertaining to like a job, or you're an independent contractor that you're getting a job, and you wrote up a job contract, a job description. And the other one is the covenant blessings of God. You cannot get a covenant blessings of God if you are not in the covenant agreement. Yeah, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your title may be or what your office is. You cannot get a covenant blessings from God if you are not operating into the covenant agreement of the contract that God made between you and him. You cannot get it. You could say whatever you want to say. You could say that, oh, God don't bless me with a car and bless me with this and bless me with that. Well, you taught the people how to bless you as a leader. Amen. But was it a covenant blessing or not? You can say whatever you want to say, because at the end of the day, it's a difference between covenant blessing and it's a difference between a hustle. And because people don't understand the difference, they just label everything, and the enemy loves it, because now even though you hustling and even though, oh, yeah, God doing it. And it keeps them people into a place of isolation and keeps a stronghold over individual life where they cannot progress. into spiritual and into natural. Have you ever scratched your head and try to wonder that you got so many people that they have so much of biblical knowledge, and they'll try to run circles around you with the Bible and with quotations and verses of the Bible, but they don't have nothing to show forth in their life, nothing to show forth in their own personal walk. Only thing they got to show forth is when you pull back the layers and all they doing is saying, oh, yeah, I got a lot of devil issues. Well, if you got a lot of devil issues, that's a problem. Because the devil is not going to hang around things that is clean, things that is holy. And it's not going to hang around that someone recognize that they are anointed. He's not going to hang around with that kind of nonsense. That is going, that kind of stuff that is going on in your life, it's a problem. He's going to hang around what is attracted to him, that he's attracted to. He ain't going to waste this too much time with a believer that is sold out. So all this I got devil warfare stuff, it's a bunch of nonsense. What is that? The devil couldn't hang. The devil showed himself two times, my God, with Jesus. Number one, he showed himself in the wilderness for when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says he was led. So what the enemy tried to do is catch Jesus at his vulnerable moment. And the Bible says he was hungry. He was weak. It began to identify his vulnerable moment. And the enemy tried to catch it. Watch this. But the Bible declares how Jesus told the enemy that it is written. It is written where? That man shall not eat by bread alone. Tell me something. My God, show me through Genesis to Revelation where that phrase is personally said, that man shall not eat by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And this is where Pastor began to identify that the problem, that the question, that the answer is, or the answer to the answer key to the test is, what did God told you? It is written that man shall not eat by bread alone, by every word that is proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is why you got to have your own personal relationship, for you could be able to tell that devil that it is written that God says I'm blessed. It is written I am healed. It is written that the Father say this too shall pass. And the enemy didn't waste no more time. He moved what? He moved on. Then another time when the son was dealing with identity, when he was dealing with identity, because he asked them, the disciple, whom do you say I am? They say, some says you this, some say you the carpenter, some says you this. But then here come this one man, Simon Peter, says, watch this. He said, you are the son of God. You the son of this. You the son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed that unto you, but my Father in heaven. But a couple of verses down, when Jesus began to say about his crucifixion of that time for to get ready to pass, what the enemy did, he began to show himself, and he showed himself in a what? Watch this. He showed himself in a caring way. He showed himself like, I am caring about you. I, and this is why I say, folks, don't get caught up in this stuff. You about to discern what you're dealing with. Because the enemy showed himself, and what Peter, he said, no, Lord. He said, no. It can't be no. So he showed himself in a caring way, but Jesus recognized that it was the enemy. He said, what? Satan, the Lord, rebuke you. Y'all hear me? The enemy has so many different sides. He will come as a chastiser, like the Holy Ghost or the Lord chastising you, so you could stay in your same old stuff. And guess what? Nothing doesn't change. You take a step back and look at your life, you get all this chastisement, but nothing doesn't improve in your life. You get all these things that God is supposed to be doing, but you haven't have nothing to increase in your life. Something is wrong when we cannot walk into the manifestation of God, but yet we have all this other knowledge and all this other information and all this frequencies that is coming into our life. You need to take a step back and check it out. Amen. And we're going to help you tonight at 8 p.m. I want you to tune in with me before we can get into some different things, and we can really get into the Bible for what it is pertaining to our life. Back to you, Evangelist. I'm out.
Praise the Lord. The number tonight is 8 p.m. And for those that that need the number, it is 385-799-9620. And again, that is 8 p.m. tonight. Invite your friends, your families, and everybody. Invite them. As I said, previously stated, it's not what's coming from out of the mouth of a man. It's what the Holy Spirit has chosen at this point in time that we need to learn and we need to apply into our lives. So, again, we love you, but God loves you best. Have a beautiful, terrific Tuesday. God bless.